Nick and Jake. A nostalgic look back at those halcyon days of the McCarthy era. A journey through literature and history, starring Alan Arkin, Tom Conti, and Ally McGraw. Previously on Nick and Jake, Nick started a new life.
My immediate plans are vague. I only know that they call for putting an ocean between me and the country that until a week ago I served without reservation.
As Alan Dulles made plans for him.
He's a company man. He'll play ball.
Introducing in this episode,
Alden Pyle Carraway, the quiet American, Nick's son, expatriate, rebel, idealist. He did great harm out of good intentions.
Ile-de-France, February 28th, somewhere at sea. To Mr. Alden Carraway, Care American Express, Paris. Dear Alden, I'm sure you'll have heard by now about your father and the McCarthy hearings. I still don't understand it. You'd think a man who had served his country and his family with such conspicuous colorlessness would be spared the indignity of these wild accusations of love nests, communist conspiracy, and high treason. I'm on board the Ile-de-France, sailing for Paris. Right now, I have an overwhelming need to get away, not just from Washington, but from everything familiar. It's not so much that I'm feeling the disgrace. For some curious reason, that doesn't seem to bother me as much as it should. Men I've known for years are suddenly crossing the street to avoid me, and somehow I find the uncrowded side of the street much more agreeable than I would have thought. I have more the sensation of going towards something than running away. We'll have a good talk when I see you, which I hope will be soon. I will be staying at the George Sank, and I hope to be able to buy you dinner and begin a long and very important process of making things right between us. Your loving father. P.S. Your mother and I have separated. From Nicholas Carraway aboard the Ile-de-France, to Jacob Barnes, Paris Herald Tribune, 3353. Arriving Paris Thursday under cloud, stop. If still speaking to Pariah, contact Hotel George Sank, Carraway.
Alden Carraway, 219 Rue de Vaugirard, Paris 15, 3 March. Dear Mr. Barnes, it has been a while since you've heard from me and had to deal with my submissions to encounter. You were kind enough to take me seriously and to give me some encouragement, and for that I'm very grateful. I just wanted to let you know that I'm leaving Paris, and it will probably be a while before I try writing anything for publication again. I met an amazing guy at the Dome a couple of weeks ago, an American named Larry Darrell. I don't know how to describe him to you. He was kind of bohemian in his dress, with a threadbare coat patched at the elbows, no hat or tie. His hair needed cutting, and he wore a full beard that showed signs of gray, but his smile was dazzling. White, even teeth, and dark eyes that seemed to start somewhere way back deep in his head. There was a look in those eyes that I can't explain, except to say that you felt like they knew something, or very likely everything. We got to talking. I told him I was a writer. He listened to me spout my ideas about politics and social inequality. And he didn't say much, but I had the feeling that my words were being drawn into some profound and infinite space, as if he were not just hearing me, but absorbing me into something universal. I know this will sound ridiculous to you, Mr. Barnes, but I was impressed and a bit unsettled. I realized that I was talking to someone who had actually been to the places I was only writing about. What did I know about the Third World? What was I doing trying to tell anyone else about it? We met again a few days later, and he told me a bit about himself, and how as a young man he had traveled to India and spent some time in an ashram there. He'd achieved something he called enlightenment, which I don't begin to understand, but I can tell you that the effect it seems to have produced in him is something we all could use a bit of. Anyway, I've decided to give up writing and Paris and political causes for the time being, and head east to see if I can find some of this Enlightenment stuff for myself. I don't know where exactly this search will take me, but I'll try to keep in touch and let you know how I'm doing. Again, I appreciate all your help and belief in me. Yours truly, Alden Carraway. P.S. Apparently my father is coming to Paris. That's another reason I'm taking off.
Hotel George V, message in votre absence. Jeudi 5 mars pour Monsieur Carraway de la part de Monsieur Barnes. Carraway, Jesus, what the hell are you thinking? You can't afford this place. I hope to Christ you haven't checked in already. The George fucking sank. This is the 50s, Carraway, not the 20s, and they charge real money these days. I read the papers, you know. I know your assets are tied up tighter than a vasectomy. Make your excuses and get in the cab. There's a swell little joint on Rue des Salpêtres across the river, not too bad if you don't need to extend your arms. Tell the driver Hotel de l'Odéon. They know me there. I booked you a room on the second floor. That's the first floor over here, and it'll save you hauling your luggage up more than one flight of stairs. Bienvenue. I'll call you tomorrow. Jake Barnes, 1 Rue de Fleurus, Paris 6, France. Dear Chris, Carraway going, Carraway coming. Young Alden writes to tell me he's chucking politics for enlightenment. He met up with Larry Darrell, you know, the chap who started Bread Off on Eastern Thought, and there went another young firebrand out to change the world. Perhaps it's all for the best, who the hell knows. I've met Darrell. He's good. He's very good. Maybe a little too good for my taste. Sometimes the damn world does seem vanity of vanities, like the prophet says. The wind goeth toward the south and turneth again to the north. The King Barnes version of the good book, product of a misspent youth. It's all horse shit anyway. I don't know whether I give a damn what people believe in, but it matters to me that people have the guts to stand guard in the lonely outpost of the Maquis or to keep secret for strangers they'll never see again. Who's to say Alden's wrong? But I keep punching anyway against the bastards, whoever they are. Meanwhile, the father has arrived in Paris, Nick Carraway, who I told you about. Poor guy's had his belief system shut out from under him. The American Dream, Eisenhower edition. Marginal notes by tail gunner Joe McCarthy. I know how he feels, having been shot up a bit myself. We're a fuckingly complicated generation, Chris. Ripped untimely from the womb of innocence and thrust into a meat grinder. Hard to imagine if you weren't there. You made a hell of an odyssey, Chris, but going to Denmark was the smallest part of it. It was the journey you made after you got there. For us, me, Carraway, Darrell, leaving America was probably the biggest part. Those of us who never went back, it turns out we could never really leave it. It's all tied up with Einstein and relativity. Can't step in the same river twice. How's that for irony and pity? Je t'embrasse, Jake.
Nick and Jake was written and directed by Tad Richards and Jonathan Richards, with music by Dave Grusin. Featured in the cast were Alan Arkin as Jake Barnes, Tom Conti as Nick Carraway, and Darren Bluestone as Alden Carraway. Tune in next time to hear Ronnie say,
I got a call from Mr. Irving Scheinblum in New York.